Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast. It is the 25th of September, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, and the HAF podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online, ffbt.com, to learn more. CJ Miller and Greg Allen have the news today, including an Eric Pfeiffer report from a major potash production site in Canada, and a Farm Safety Week primer on keeping safe and healthy this harvest. The Indiana Farm Forecast with Ryan Martin calls for clouds and rain ending today, and then Friday starts an extended dry period. And yesterday, corn, beans, and wheat all worked just a little lower. Quiet day. Tom Fritz's market analysis on the HAT Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Touring the potash mine and the importance of farm safety. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Greg Allen. Potash enhances drought tolerance, disease resistance, and plant standability for corn, which is why farmers apply it. But have you ever really thought about where it comes from? Hoosier Ag Today's Eric Pfeiffer reports now from our neighbor to the north and 1,000 meters below ground.
Without fertilizer, we wouldn't be able to feed 8 billion people on this earth, and potash has an important role.
That's Les Fralick, general manager of Nutrien's Allen Mine, located about 28 miles or 45 kilometers outside of Saskatoon, where Nutrien is headquartered. Global production of potash is around 70 million tons, with 20 million of that produced in the Saskatchewan province.
Potash, it's a soft rock, so our ore consists of two-thirds salt, one-third potash, with a little bit of clay. And, it's not, it's quite roomy down there.
Down there is a little over half a mile under the surface. Construction began on the Allen Mine in 1964, with the first potash struck in 1968. Since then,
Our mine has grown significantly over the years. The footprint is roughly 20 kilometers by 14 kilometers, so it covers a large area, and that's over five and a half decades of mining.
In fact, the farthest mine face, where they use a borer to extract the potash, is about an hour's drive from the mine shaft. Safety is a core value at the mine. 12-hour shifts underground could prove taxing, but Fralick says their employee turnover rate is quite low, somewhere around 4%.
Our trade rate right now is roughly about $60 an hour, so our employees are paid well, and they tend to stay long-term. It's interesting work. Potash mining is pretty unique. So there's a variety of work every day, and it's quite interesting and technical. And I think a lot of people get a lot out of that, more than just the pay side.
You can see pictures of Nutrien's Allen Mine and the milling facility at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
All this week is National Farm Safety and Health Week. C.J. Miller reports on the importance of farm safety, especially this time of year.
Keep safety a priority. Keep safety in mind. Yeah, there's a job to do, but the most important thing is for everybody to be here and healthy when harvest is over.
And that's Ed Sheldon, Agricultural Safety Specialist with Purdue University and Purdue Extension.
Certainly, historically, we used to see a significant increase in that October, November timeframe in fatalities and injuries on the farm, just because it gets busy, it gets crazy. Everybody works as hard as they can to get the crop out of the field, long hours, long days, and that unfortunately can lead to mistakes and injuries.
And a lot of times, farmers may be racing to get a field harvested before it rains, before sunset, or maybe even before lunch or supper. He says one thing that you can do if you're a farmer is to just stop for a brief moment before you put that tractor, combine, or grain truck in gear and be completely aware of your surroundings at all times.
Just take that extra minute, that extra second to think about, okay, what could happen? How do I prevent it from happening? It's a tough thing to do because we don't want to think about the bad that can happen. But just take that extra moment, make safety a priority.
Check out my full conversation with Ed Shelton as part of the Your Farm podcast. You can find it on the Hoosier Ag Today YouTube channel or wherever you listen to your podcast. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Greg Allen, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. The forecast is pretty straightforward this time around. We've had moisture trying to work through the Hoosier State the past few days. Honestly, we ended up with the biggest moisture coming late Tuesday night and into early yesterday. The rest of yesterday was just dealing with some piddly hit and miss stuff here and there as a system really gained strength farther south. We saw the biggest rains yesterday down in parts of Kentucky and Tennessee. Today, the entire system is pushing eastward. We have to deal with wraparound backside moisture with this, so that's why I think clouds are going to be pretty thick today. Fog can be something that really kind of slows the progression down a little bit this morning and midday, but I do think that we are going to be seeing moisture wind down outside of a few hit and miss scattered showers, and tomorrow we are drying even further, getting sunshine back. From tomorrow forward, we are precipitation free through this weekend, through all of next week, and through next weekend, well into the week of the 6th. Our next front may not show up with any teeth to it till the 8th into the 9th, and even that front seems to not have a very significant moisture source to draw off of. So with regard to big rains, what we've seen this week may be it. I'm looking at a wide open window opening back up to get back into the fields. It may take you a little bit longer in some places than others, just depending on what you've picked up the last 24 to 48 hours. But dryness is coming, and harvest is going to be taking place very, very quickly once again. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
This harvest, it's more than crops. It's your legacy. Beacon Credit Union offers ag loans for equipment, land, and operating costs. Competitive rates, flexible terms, and local experts who know farming. Beacon Credit Union. Local. Trusted. Rooted in agriculture. We're ag people. Serving ag people. Visit beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
Just below even is where the grains and oil seeds settle. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review, brought to you by Performance Livestock Analytics, helping Indiana cattle producers run more efficient cattle operations with real-time data on feed, health, and performance, all in one easy-to-use app. Final numbers from a quiet day of trade coming up. First thoughts from Tom Fritz of EFG. I spoke with him at the end of the session. Very quiet markets, pretty much a ho-hum day, it would seem, Tom, from my vantage point anyway, especially when you take, for example, December corn, just a 4 cent range of trade. Not much happening.
No, very little happening, Andy. You hit the nail on the head. You know, sure, there's a lot of chatter out there. You know, really, what's the yield? So far, I don't talk to too many people in Indiana and Ohio, but I know in Illinois, really haven't found any poor yields yet. Most people I talk to are pretty satisfied with their yields. Whereas in Iowa, it seems to be a different story. I've heard of some good yields in Iowa, and I've heard of some really poor yields in Iowa. And they all tell me it comes down to when did you spray your fungicides? Did you spray once? Did you spray twice? If you only sprayed once, did you spray too early? So I think we really need to see a lot more harvesting done before we can get a really good handle on yield. So that's an unknown that we probably won't know for a couple of weeks yet. Next Tuesday, I think it's next Tuesday, the 30th, the USDA will update the stocks, old crop stocks. And a lot of times that's been a bit of a game changer. I know in past years it showed that the producer, as of September 1st, was still sitting on a lot of old crop corn. So that really played havoc with the basis levels. But, I think we've seen a lot of that old crop corn move already because I do tend to track basis levels from different areas of the Midwest. The second week of October, the USDA will update yields and give us a better idea of what we've got out there. And as far as I'm concerned, we're going to continue to update yield, not only in October, but in November, but I think in January as well. It's going to be one of these ongoing things. As far as demand goes, corn demand's okay. Where would we be without Mexico? I'd hate to think where we'd be without them. They're a great buyer and elsewhere. But, our corn demand is okay. A little disappointing in the ethanol grind today. It continues to ease and stocks built noticeably. I think the corn market's going to try to hold on to its own here. Until we do have a better handle on yield. Wheat market, supposedly the world wheat business is starting to improve. We heard Algeria 600,000 tons the other day, but Syria passed. They were looking at 200,000 tons, and Jordan passed on 120,000 tons. But, it used to be we'd always look for Egypt. Well, now Egypt does all their dealing, privately, so you don't hear about it until after the fact, but one of the Russian consultancies did say Russian export prices, wheat export prices, are indeed improving for the first time in 4 weeks. So I think that helps out, especially with yesterday's reversal. I don't want to call it a reversal. Yeah, it was a reversal, but it was more of a rejection of the contract lows we saw in the prior day. So I think the wheat market's trying to stand in. Unfortunately, we have the soybean market. When was the last time we called the soybean complex the weak sister? Well, it is. And, the whammy is, okay, we don't have any Chinese business. We know that. With the politics behind the tariffs, who knows when that's going to, abate. But then again, the announcement the other day that Argentina is removing all export taxes on grains and oil seeds and oil seed products. Where are you going to go with that? China, in the last 2 days, bought 20 loads of beans from Argentina. We can't compete with that. So, we're going to languish for the next number of days, at least until the end of the month. Meaning the end of October. When they're going to lift this temporary suspension on export taxes. Also, the end of October is when we hear from the EPA as to how they're going to allocate biofuel exemptions. So right now, the entire soybean complex is in limbo. Cash prices on meal. Prior to just recently, they've been really, really strong due to crusher downtime for maintenance. Well, now we're starting to see those basis levels start to slide as we're seeing more and more crushing plants come back online. It's interesting, to look at what was the September basis for soybean meal, whether it was for export or for just domestic use. And then you compare it to October numbers, and it was like October numbers just literally fell out of bed. So bottom line is, soybean market's got a really tough road to hoe here. There's a lot of chatter that, the dry finish in the eastern Midwest hasn't been the best for beans. But I'll tell you, some of the bean yields that I have heard out of Illinois, they're really exceptional, except for the ones when you get into far southern Illinois. Far southern Illinois always has a tough time because it's very sandy soil, and it really can't withstand dryness for any extended period of time, whether it's in the beginning of the summer, middle of the summer, or the end of the summer. So, you know, we try not to pay too much attention to what we hear out of southern Illinois. But for the most part, Illinois bean yields so far so good. And, you know, with that said, and given the lack of demand numbers that we've got going, it's like, okay, the soybean complex is the weak sister of the ag complex.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. Now, settlements from Wednesday trade 2 cents lower on December, March, May, and July corn. Descends at 424 and a quarter, March 441, May 450 and a quarter. 3 cents down, November beans now down to 1009, January 1028 and a half down 3 1/4. March 3 cents lower at 1044. And 3/4, and a penny lower in Chicago wheat, with December at 519 and a half, March 538, again down a penny. Meat markets lower too. October live cattle 234.05, down 155. October lean hogs 99.42, down $1.10. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.